Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 23, Text 33. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shravana Dasana Dhyanam Mahi Bhavo Nakirtana. Natata Sanikastena Patiyata Patoginam. It is by hearing about me, seeing my deity form, meditating upon me, and chanting my names and glories, that love for me develops, not by physical proximity. Therefore, please go back to your homes. Om Jnanatamarandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Madhobhistam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Adadanastinam Dante Idam Yashe Puna Puna Srimadrupapadam Bodhya Yulisham Janma Janmani Sayagiyug Bhakti Risham Kayatnai Apayam Mamana Bipsamandam Kupambhriya Paraduka Duki Sanatanastam Prabhumastinami Panchakalpatharubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Greetings from Sridham Mayapur. I'm staying here in the Vaishnava Academy, a little bit away from the temple by the Goshala. Some of you know that room, and I explained yesterday that from my veranda, we can see across the Jalangi to the home of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, where he had both the vision of the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Karmasthan, the place of his activities, this wonderful Sridhar Mayapur, which is the center for spreading the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all around the world. In fact, today's parikram, the group had arrived yesterday in full force. Today's parikram, we will cross that Jalangi River, and we will go to the birthplace of the house of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. And then from there, we have a bus. We'll go to Nisringapalli, where Lord Nisringadeva rested after he killed Aranyakashipu, which there's an ancient deity reportedly from Satya Yuga. So we're looking forward to going to that place, which is the origin of the Namhata. So wonderful just to think of Bhakti Vinod Thakur's activities, the Bhakti Vinodian schedule, where he would rise so early and so many duties, so many children, so many responsibilities, but in such a determined and dedicated way, produce so much for the Krishna consciousness movement. One time I was in Jaipur on Parikram, and Somehow I was coming into the temple. One year I went to Jaipur. And before you come into the main gate, there's some houses on the right, and one man came out, and he was a godbrother of mine named Manmohan, who was a one of Prabhupada's life member disciples in Bombay. And really, Bombay in Prabhupada Leela is like the Vrindavan of Prabhupada. I know he said it was his office, Vrindavan is his home, Mayapur is a place of worship. But somehow in Mayapur, Prabhupada had very intimate and spontaneous relationships with the life members, in a way. And this was one life member. I remember this life member as the most fanatic of all time of all Prabhupada disciples, but in a very charming way. So he invited us into his house, and I had a whole bunch of new devotees. They were practically right out of the straight edge scene. And when we got to his house, I said, Manmohan, can you preach something about Prabhupada? And he stands up in the middle, and he's a Marwari Indian with his hands. He's like, has very, I can't explain his motions, but they're very passionate and pronounced. His hand, he says, and he looks at us, and he says, Prabhupada's better than Lord Chaitanya. I mean, I almost dropped. What is he going to say? And then he looked at me as if I was doubting. He said, no, Prabhupada's better than Lord Chaitanya. He said, Lord Chaitanya worshiped Krishna. That's one. Prabhupada worshiped Lord Chaitanya and Krishna. That's two. And two is better than one. When he said that, I also got a realization, in one sense, of our fortune, because I'm just thinking all these wonderful songs of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Lochan Das Thakur, were not even available. All the songs we sing were not available to the associates of Lord Chaitanya. So in that way, as the Krishna consciousness movement spreads from Lord Chaitanya, there's a certain wealth that accumulates. This morning with the devotees, I was singing this wonderful song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur about the place we're going. I'll just sing the first line. Well, I'll sing two lines. Bada suke kabe gai, bada suke kabe gai. Bada suke kabe gai, bada suke kabe gai. Surabhi kunjete namahakulete. Surabhi kunjete namahakulete. Kodanitai, kodanitai. Kodanitai, kodanitai. I'm singing, I am bringing news of the greatest happiness in a place called Surabhi Kunj. Lord Nityananda has opened up the Namhata to the holy name. And these songs are so rich to nourish whatever small sentiment of Gaur Bhakti we may have. So nice. And then it goes on that he's distributing the holy name simply for the price of your faith. Actually, everything is based on faith. Faith allows deep consideration to actually consider the truth and realize it. Without faith, you'll not make the effort to consider and realize the truth. It's simply for the process of our faith. And he's coming, and he's so merciful, Lord Nityananda, that simply for the price of the faith, he's giving the highest pleasure. He's giving just excuse me for a second. I forgot to mention one thing. This is actually right in the middle of my parikra. No, I'm not mentioning the person that's coming here. This is right in the middle of my parikra. Now you stay here. It's very important. Just wait and stay. You'll see what I'm going to say. It's right in the middle of my prikram, so I'm really going to have to be multitasked here, because I'm going to have to give the class and semi-manage the prikram, but you will all be privy to this management, the prikram, and then I'll get back. Just take the shot and downstairs? Is it Lodi Chichikate there?
No.
Yeah, downstairs, around the back, he takes the shot, and then we'll be ready to go at 8:30. What? I'm giving class now. Okay? All right, we'll be ready to go by 8:30. Okay? Go downstairs, take the shot, and then we'll walk around by the Jilungi, the back way. There's a back way to go to Hula Dot. Yeah. Okay? Okay. Yes. Okay? I'll meet you right in front, maybe at 8:30. Okay? Hare Krishna. Okay, in Mayapur, they have a nice department, a department of Prikram. This very nice devotee, Vrajanath, and he has assistants. So when you're here, and it's a very wonderful feature, when you're here, they'll send an assistant with you to organize everything, take you to the places. And if you don't know about the places, they know all the details of the places. So that one young man just came in. Anyway, I'm going over this song. I hope I can keep the flow here. But this line, it says, Ekbar Dekli Chakshi Jal. If Lord Nityananda sees the welling in the eye of just one tear by someone, Gaura Bhole, by chanting the name of Gaura, Nitai Dan Sakha, he'll give all opulences. Anyway, we are, class may be a little disjointed today because really there's a mode of the Prikram which is different from my general mode. It's a much more busy mode and a little bit less time for my studies. Yes, usually when I give class I have a yellow pad and I have all notes because I want to make sure it's the proper presentation. But this will be a little bit more spontaneous. But hopefully that's also something I can share with the devotees, a little bit of the flavor of the Prikram. A lot of nice people came. I'm always surprised at the devotees who are listening from New Jersey. You know that Gopkishore and Kishore Radha and their son Narayan are here for the second year. So it looks like they're regulars. Also, Dunya is here. And Bhakta Nick from New York, not the Bhakta Nick from Philadelphia, and not Maha Nick, not Choda Nick, but another Nick. And then there's a Chaitanya Dora from Washington, and Amiya Nimai from New York City, and there's three devotees from Israel. There's a few people here. Well, I should also mention sometimes, I think I'm going to get in the verse and then I'll say something else about Gaura Lila. I have such a positive mood, but sometimes I'm saying everything's great, I'm going all these Prikrams, I think, what are the people back there thinking? But I'm trying to communicate this, but it's just one thing Gaura Govinda Maharaj once said that was really nice. They asked him about some problem that was there, so they were going to make a radical change on something, and he said, Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj said, and some other devotee said, no, don't make a change. He said, the nature of the world is those who are unfortunate will be fortunate, and those who are fortunate will be unfortunate. Come in. And just one second. I'm giving class. You want to sit? You can sit. Okay. No. It's okay. I'm just saying because it's the Prikram people are coming in. I can say this is Gita Nagari Das from Gita Nagari. He's going to come on the Prikram today, so he's also here. So I feel that way now, like somehow or another, I'm a little bit more fortunate now. I'm in the Dham, but And a few years ago, sometimes I was feeling a little more unfortunate, but I know it's the duality of the material world. And sometimes you have good times, sometimes you have bad times, that ultimately we have to be transcendental and identify ourselves as servants of Krishna, because that's the eternal platform. No matter what your karma is, good or bad, so to speak, ultimately we're eternal servants of Krishna. And only if we identify with the nature of the soul will we actually become free from the fear of death, which is the root of all fears. Because death will take away everything else that's not a direct manifestation of the soul. So by chanting Hare Krishna and doing devotional activities, you do become somewhat fearless, because you're identifying with the part of you that's real and will not be taken away by, you know, time. So the real thing is just to think of ourselves as a servant of Krishna. Again, I was mentioning just being with Buridram Prabhu for a few days in Udupi, and, you know, just occasionally sharing his realizations, how much he's trying to focus on that, that he's a servant of Prabhupada, and what is his service for Prabhupada, and kind of make a complicated life simple, that we're just servants of Prabhupada, and whatever situation we're in, we just have to think that we're servants, and sometimes the servant is eating the remnants of the master, and sometimes he's out on in a train station, you know, or traveling in India doing something, or whatever it is. But if that becomes our consciousness, then we're doing the maximum to actually develop the ultimate consciousness of the spiritual world, which is servitude. I am the servant of Krishna. And I'll just repeat something in that regard. And I mentioned this before, and sometimes I mention something on Sunday and again on Monday, again on Wednesday, thinking it's a new class, although some of the same people attend both classes. When Madhvacharya said that that all rasas rest in the vessel of Aishwarya, and that's why in the Bhagavatam, even when Krishna's pastimes are being spoken, Leela, sometimes there's always a verse that says, and he is the supreme Brahman, he is Otam Protam, the threads that weave the material existence. The reason that is given is, especially for conditioned souls who are hearing, that all relationships with Krishna, the basis is the mood of selfless service, which means the mood of dasya. And for the conditioned souls, the sense of Aishwarya, because we're so much relate with matter, the sense of opulence and greatness invokes within us a respect which creates in our heart the mood of servitude. And therefore, the vessel of Aishwarya is actually the vessel of the mood of servitude. And if you really want to have the mood of Sakyaras, Madhuryaras, Vatsalyaras, you have to be firmly in the mood that I am a servant of Krishna, and this helps it. Okay, let me go to the pastime now, what I can remember of it, because I didn't really prepare. But so we're really up to the point where now Krishna has sent back the wives of the Brahmins. And we can imagine what this is doing to their heart. And when you contact the internal potency is completely focused and directed on the heart. And the purpose of the internal potency, okay, the Hare Krishna mantra, the deities, the Dham, is to change the heart. And it's very personal. So the internal potency works personally in relationship to you, what you need to understand, what experiences you need to have to change the heart. And therefore, not everyone has the same experience, even if they're all in the Dham. It's very, very personal. Therefore, it's very, very intense. Roy Jumper, who also sharing the realization, he said, when you come to the Dham, it's like a mirror that's held up to your false ego. You actually see, my God, how much I'm in the consciousness of enjoyer and controller. I mean, that's the mercy of the Dham. Because when you come to the Dham, there's a potency that enthuses you with some sense of prakriti bhav. But I am not the Purusha, I am not the enjoyer, I'm not the controller. But I'm meant to be enjoyed. And it's very, very intense here, that sense that I am meant to be enjoyed, that I am a servant of Guru and Krishna. That sense is very, very strong here. So as that sense begins, that consciousness begins to well in the heart, you actually begin to see how much you are in this mood of Purusha. I am the enjoyer and I am the controller. And believe me, if you go and stand before the Panchatattva, they're so powerful. The sense of Purusha Bhav, I'm the controller, I am the enjoyer, becomes ludicrous. And the whole purpose, I was also explaining in one of the classes, I'm trying to forget which one, because I'm giving two classes a day and then these phone conferences, the whole story of Lord Brahma, because we're going to the yoga pit, which is Antardvip. And Antardvip means when Lord Brahma, let me see if this fits in with the class here, but when Lord Brahma, after he took away the coward boys and calves, and then he was swaddled when he came back, because he saw duplicates of all the cowherd boys and calves that he took. And then Krishna revealed to him that all these cowherd boys and calves are manifestations of me. And then when he lamented, and Krishna apparently kind of forgave his offense, he was so crushed at heart by what the manifestation of his false ego did, that he came to Navadvip to relieve himself of the offenses, and as he was doing that, Lord Chaitanya appeared before him and said, because you're so sincerely trying to get rid of the false ego, the ahankara, I am the controller of the universe, I am the manager of the universe, you're so sincerely trying to get rid of that ahankara, that because this was 5,000 years ago, he said, Lord Chaitanya, that golden form said, when I appear as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then I will allow you to come and participate in my pastimes in a Muslim family. And you become the Nama Acharya as Haridas Thakur. I will allow you to fulfill your desire to be without upadhi or designation. So you can actually, I'll give you full, and because you are my servant, I will give you full facility to develop the mood of Dasyaras. I will give you the full facility to develop the mood of Prakriti Bhav. I'll give you the lowest position in society as a reward. And what is the result? The result is Trinada Pisanichena Torora Pisahishnana Amanina Madanina Kirtaniya Sadahari. Because he took the humble position, Kirtaniya Sadahari, he was able to experience the Lord's mercy. He was able to actually fully develop prema bhakti and always chant the holy name. So, anyway, going back to this story, I think I got a little bit lost. There's also people coming in and out of the room constantly. Some people want to hear. They finish breakfast. They're coming in here before the prikram. So, It the focus that I need to give the class, but let me see if I can get back and remember the point that I was talking about, because I like to have some context for this whole story. So Krishna sent them away, the wives of the Brahmins. And, okay, when the wives of the Brahmins come, Krishna sends them away, and then he begins to explain to them why he's sending them away. And he's explaining that to actually attain me in full realization, there's different ways to attain Krishna at different levels of realization. You can attain him at the level of Swarupa Siddhi. You have some strong sense and conception of your own identity and what is Krishna's identity. And then you can attain Krishna at the level of Vastu Siddhi. Vastu means substance. You get the substance of perfection, not just the mental conception of perfection. So perhaps they were not yet really fully at the substance of perfection. Just like the Sadhana Siddhi gopis, when they entered, they took birth in Krishna Lila, they had some other designations or conceptions, and they couldn't attain Krishna until they associated with the Nitya Siddha Parikas, the eternal associate. So they came and Krishna sent them back. And they were crushed in heart that they were sending them. And then Krishna began to preach to them and explain why. Because if you want to increase your love for me, the best way to increase your love for me is by hearing about me and seeing my deity form, chanting my names and glories. By that, the love for me develops, not just physical proximity. And actually, the proximity to Krishna is not physical or not material. The proximity to Krishna is consciousness. Because Krishna is not in a physical designation. The Supreme Lord Krishna is everything. Krishna means Advayam Gyan, consciousness of which nothing is outside of. So the only reason we're not with Krishna is of consciousness, of aversion to Krishna, and therefore we have this false identity, and therefore we forget Krishna. But the distance is only the consciousness. So somehow or other, these wives of the Brahmins, as advanced spiritually as they were, and they were very advanced spiritually, they got darshan of Krishna as Narada Muni got darshan of Krishna. But even though he got darshan of Krishna, Narada Muni, Krishna disappeared. And even when he tried to see Krishna again, this is a very interesting point, by the exact same process that he performed initially to see Krishna, he couldn't see Krishna. Because it's not just the activities and practices by which you see Krishna, but it's the you have to work and endeavor to see Krishna and follow a process to see Krishna, to get that love for Krishna. But at the same time, you have to have a sense of dependence, that actually it's not a mechanical process to attain Krishna. The mechanical process is just the vehicle by which you express your utter desire to see Krishna. And knowing that seeing Krishna is in Krishna's hands, not your own. And if we have the example of Mother Yasoda trying to tie Krishna, by her endeavor alone she couldn't see Krishna, but by her endeavor she was expressing her love for Krishna. And by that love for Krishna she attracted Krishna's mercy. Anyway, these wives of the Brahmins, it's just not as clear as I want. I can't exactly blame it on the circumstances, but I kind of am at the same time. But, so Krishna is explaining to them, you go home. The gopis, they were Vastu Siddhi. They were fully in their spiritual substance. But they have to go back because they have some, and this was the point, maybe I repeated it last Wednesday, but you can repeat a point again. And I even have a little bit of that small sense of designation. And even though they're coming to Krishna, there's indications by the commentaries that they still have some small sense that I am a wife of a Brahmin. They have some small sense of designation of something else other than a servant of Krishna. And when you want to attain Krishna, there can be no other conception but I am a servant of Krishna. So they had some other identity, and therefore Krishna, out of his mercy, and by the potency of the Leela Shakti, is creating some virahas or mood of separation to increase their desire to be a servant of Krishna. They had such intense desire to be a servant of Krishna, but to bring that desire to be a servant of Krishna to the highest point, where there's nothing else in the consciousness. Prem Bhakti means there's nothing else in the consciousness. So Krishna is therefore giving the instruction, and at the same time, because Krishna is appearing not only to exchange lila with his devotees, but to create subject matters for us to hear so we become attracted to Krishna, and also through those pastimes and lilas, give us the proper instructions so that we can actually attain Krishna. And I mentioned many, many times that this is all leading up to the Rasa Lila. We're in the chapter 23, and the Rasa Lila, you know, is beginning in chapter 29. So as these pastimes get closer, the subtle anarthas, the subtle conceptions are being, just like in chapter 15, the killing of Dainakasura, we spoke about demonology. With the demon Dainakasura, you can see before Krishna entered, before the Rasa Lila pastime, all the demons have to be killed, which means all the gross conceptions of materialism have to be destroyed. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Vallabhacharya describe very clearly that the killing of the demons actually they represent the anarthas that have to be destroyed. But here, in the lives of the Brahmins, of course, the Brahmins themselves, it's a little bit more gross. They have the gross identification, I am a Brahmin. And the wives of the Brahmins have a very subtle, so it just shows you in spiritual life, as you advance, how much more subtle. But in chapter 15, the demon Dainakasura we're discussing, he was the donkey, the ass demon, but he only ate hay. But these tau fruits, it was described, they were ripe and falling on the floor, and it described they were under his control. This is gross materialism. Gross materialism means I can't enjoy, but I don't want you to enjoy. Because gross material means I want to be the enjoyer. So there's two things of you. There's two conceptions that have to go along. Attachment, that you want to be the enjoyer, you want to be the controller, and envy. You don't want anybody else to be the enjoyer. Because it's not enough that you go higher. Because if your conception is fruit of activities, envy, that you want to go higher and higher, you want to, then even if you get so much, you're not satisfied if someone has more than you. So the demon's mentality ultimately comes to the point that not only that I want to enjoy, but even in the instances where I can't enjoy, I don't want anybody else to enjoy. So that's more gross. And then we see what happens, that Balaram, who is the represents Guru, who has to clean the heart so the seeds of bhakti can grow without any weeds. It's very interesting. I explained this Sunday, but I'm going to explain it again. There's a new audience before me, so he knocks out. There are trees of Vrindavan that are worshipful, but Balaram throws the donkeys into the trees, which creates this domino effect, and all the trees get destroyed. And then the Acharya has mentioned why he destroyed the trees. He said, because
because these demons were in the forest. By association, the whole forest became contaminated, destroying everything. So here's the cleaning of the heart. But anyway, he's telling him that the separation is better for you. And the real proximity to Krishna is by devotion, which is exemplified in devotional practices. That's association with Krishna. And in fact, this is the message that Krishna gave to the gopis, that he sent Uddhava to give the message to the gopis. The essence of our philosophy told them that, actually, I am with you in my Baba manifestation. I am with you in my devotion. In your devotion to me, I am with you. Okay, today, because I'm very soon have to go on parikram, and I have to, marshal the troops. So this class may end a little bit earlier. Or while I'm walking around, hopefully I'll be able to still say something. I'll keep the cell phone in my pocket. And if you want to walk with me along the Jalangi, maybe I'll see something. I don't know if you know a Moga. Amoka Veer is here from Lancaster, a godbrother. And so let me go on. Let me give some verses today. So Sukadeva Goswami is explaining when they were instructed, the wives of the Brahmins, they returned, and the Brahmins did not find any fault with their wives because the demigods expressed their approval of Krishna's instructions, and the Brahmins worshiped the demigods, and therefore they got inspired. And together they finished the sacrifice. But there was one of the ladies that was forcibly kept back by her husband. And so Krishna said, no, go back and chant in here. And in the mood of separation, that will increase your attachment to the maximum degree. So the one wife of the Brahmin, she stayed back. And because she stayed back, her separation was greater. So when all the other ladies returned and described, when they heard and described Lord Krishna, what they saw, that Krishna with that golden dhoti and the cascading black hair, whirling the Leela Kamala, the lotus flower in his hand in the exchange, and him saying, welcome, welcome. So when they described Krishna, because she was held back, she embraced Krishna within her heart when she heard it so deeply, and she gave up the material body. And then it's described by the logic of touchstone. Logic of touchstone means because she had achieved that perfection of Krishna, it's understood that the wives of the Brahmins also achieved that perfection. And then there's a reference from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, where the wives of the Brahmins are given as the example of Kripasiddhi. So it's understood by revealed scripture. And by revealed scripture, it's described that there's no hierarchy between them. They all achieve the same level. So then Govinda, the personality of Godhead, he fed the cowherd boys with that food. They brought such wonderful food out of their love. And it's described with the very same food he took, which means actually there wasn't enough food. But somehow or other, by Krishna's potency, they felt full. And Krishna wasn't very hungry. Why? Because he made the wives of the Brahmins leave their home, and then one of them died out of separation. So Krishna was thinking, oh my God, what have I done to cause this? And he was feeling some lamentation. But anyway, they took the food. And then, a very nice verse, and I'll finish with this verse. I'm sorry today it's so short, but evam lila nada vapur nilokam anushilayam reme go gopa gopinam ramayam rupa vakriti. Thus the Supreme Lord appearing like a human being to perform his pastimes. Anish imitated the ways of human society. He enjoyed pleasing his cows, cowherd boyfriends, and cowherd girlfriends with his beauty, words, and actions. So what happened is, then it says, thus the Supreme Lord appearing, he enjoyed pleasing the cows and the gopis, and it's not the elderly gopis, because the word is used, Ramayan, Ramayan. Ramayan means pleasing, but in a more conjugal way. So it wasn't the elderly gopis, and this shows that when Krishna had his Rasa-lila, that he actually, these pastimes were happening before. But he pleased them with what? With his vox, his words, with his actions, his beauty. He pleased who? Gopinam. He pleased the cowherd girls. And it means that he did not gratify the wives of the Brahmins, even though they had full praying for him. And Krishna reciprocates, even as he did with Guja. Krishna reciprocates the love of his devotees, but what's the interesting point here is the predominance of the Leela Shakti over other Shaktis, such as the Satya Sankalpa Shakti, the potency to fulfill Krishna's desires. So the Leela Shakti, at this particular point, it's proper because for the pastimes to proceed in the proper way, and the pastimes of Krishna proceed in the proper way, not only to give the proper instruction, but also to create the most intense nuances of rasa. So even though Krishna is so absorbed, and normally his immediate desire was to please the gopis, Krishna is surrendered to his own Leela Shakti, his own potency to create Leela and pastimes to fulfill everyone's desires, including the conditioned souls, to be educated and to relish Krishna's pastimes. And then after this, what happens is the Brahmins then, they come to their senses when they see the exalted status of their wives, and they begin to feel great remorse. This is actually very, even in the Kaliya pastime, when Kali is finally crushed, every bone in his thousand heads is crushed, and he can't even speak, and his heads also, the same pastime, his heads, his hoods rising up, are representation of the false ego. We get crushed, we get beaten, when you're not the controller, you're not the controller, you're not the controller. I'm looking at the audience now here, there's a few people here. How many times has Krishna stepped on your head and crushed your false ego? And how many times have you risen again? I am the controller, I am the enjoyer. And smash, smash, smash. But when everything is finished, when your hopes are finished, I cannot be the enjoyer and controller. And that may happen at death when Krishna is just robbing the material body, which is a product of ahankara or false ego. You're given the body to satisfy your false ego. It may happen at death. And then it's really painful. Because the pain of death, one sadhu in Vrindavan told me, the pain of death is not the physical pain, because you can always go in coma or be drugged. It's the giving up of attachments. It's having the world move so rapidly against your false ego, which is the source of the mind and the tell, I want to enjoy, I want to control, and the thought, it's taken away. So Kali is serpent, such a good, and what happened when the false ego was crushed and he couldn't lift up any of the hoods of his opulence? Smitva. Then he remembered what he heard about Krishna from his wives who were devotees. So we're hearing so much about Krishna. But how much can we access when the false ego, our hoods of false ego rise again? No, I'm the control, I'm the enjoyer. It was always like, I remember when I was in sixth grade, you know, and if someone would get beat up, you know, by another kid, right? What would he say? Five more minutes and I could have had him. Or, you know, I couldn't fight because I was wearing my school clothes. We just can't accept defeat. We can't accept defeat no matter what we do. So therefore the whole material nature, which is basically moving according to Krishna's desire, which is why we're frustrated because we're not the enjoyer and controller, so it's not moving according to our desire. It's meant to bring us to a point to hear. And as Prabhupada said, first-class hearing is just hear from the Shastras that we're not the enjoyer, we're not the controller, we're the servants of Krishna. If we can do that, then we can come to that point. So the Brahmins came to their senses. We have sinned. We have denied the request of the Lord. And we see this, again, with Lord Brahma and those prayers. Then when he was thinking, my God, I was trying to be the enjoyer and controller. And then he gives this wonderful verse. Who am I and who is he? And he's pointing to Krishna. Who is he? He said, who is Krishna? Coming through the screen, coming through the pores of his body are innumerable universes that are just like hex atoms of dust. And I'm just one controller of one speck of dust. So who am I and who is he? And he's lamenting. And I was describing to the devotees also that consciousness is even in initiation, the Panch Samskara, the first samskara is called tapa. If you're to become qualified for initiation, you must feel the heat of regret of my false ego. Now I'm going, like we read this morning in class, when Ishwara Puri was glorifying Lord Chaitanya, when Ishwara Puri took initiation, and then when Lord Chaitanya took initiation from Ishwara Puri, Lord Chaitanya was such a devotee. And devotee means he glorifies God. And he glorifies him to such a degree, he glorifies his representative, that he was collecting the dust of his birthplace and eating it every day. That's how much he valued Krishna and Krishna's representative. So I said that the initiation tapa, really what it begins, initiation is a process, but the first part, the first samskara is tapa. I'm no longer the controller and enjoyer. I'm the servant, and I regret that. And Lord Brahma was regretting it, and we should look back at what our false ego has done to us, all the conceptions, all the upadis we have accepted in this life, and how we've affected other people by that false ego. And then, when we do that, then we can actually hear. And then when you hear the Shastra, then immediately Krishna comes into the heart without delay, at once. And that's the second verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It says, at once, without delay, you realize Krishna. So in that verse, the commentaries say, well, how at once? How at once does it happen? Just by hearing once. There's a story one famous merchant in Calcutta. And he was very pious from a previous life. And one sweeper came by, a chaise sweeper, and she's sweeping the ground, she's sweeping the floor. And that lady says, time is passing, move on. Because she wanted to do her sweeping. And he heard that as the essence of the Bhagavatam, gave up everything and surrendered everything and came to Bhagavatam, came to Vrindavan. So why that doesn't here happen to us, although we hear again and again and again and again and again and again? Because of the false ego. I was thinking that when I first bathed in Radha Kund, I was with two very heavy sannyasis in 1978. They're heavy now, and what they were then was inconceivable. Means false ego, myself. And I remember after we bathed, it was relating to different people. And why was it relating to different people? Because I just felt that the holy river, we bathed in the Ganga yesterday also, it's like there are false egos were in a puddle. I looked at them and there was puddles on the ground. This is not them. Where is their false ego? Where is my false ego? It was puddles on the ground. And we experience that when we bathe in holy rivers. But then what happens? We reconstruct the false ego again. I am the controller, I am the enjoyer, etc. So here these Brahmins, They're also setting the example of how to enter Braj. They had this designation. It was crushed. Their wives left them. Then they came back, and their wives were with them. They actually saw they were crushed in another way by the association of their wives. They saw their exalted spiritual position. And then they began tapa. They began to lament and regret. And what was I doing previously? And now they're ready to, and this is Braj. We have to come to that point. Anyway, I spoke on and on, and I'm actually already late for my prikram, but what I'll do is I just have to do one thing for 2 minutes. If anyone wants to hang on for 2 or 3 minutes, I'll come back in a minute, and then I'll just finish up. If you have to go, you could have to go. But it's going to take me maybe 60 seconds. Haribo.